Calling the meeting to order. It's December 10th, the meeting of the Technical Advisory Committee. We have a quorum, Carrie?
Yes.
So has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Dave White, move to approve.
Okay. Second?
Yes, for second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, staff reports. Curtis.
All right, if I can direct your attention to attachment 3A, that is the financial progress report. This is through November, so we are almost in the state fiscal year, halfway through the year. You see we've expended about 36% of our budget. I'm really not worried about this number based on the events that are upcoming here that we'll talk about shortly. But so we're in very good shape financially going into the new year. And like I said, we'll be halfway through the fiscal year come January 1. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Dave,
why
move to approve?
Okay. Wait a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, technical progress report.
All right, so from a technical progress perspective, I don't know how many of you have been following the news, although I'm not sure it really got that much coverage, is that we do have a new highway bill signed December 4th, called the FAST Act. It adds about $305 billion over the next 5 years for transportation planning. Some interesting things in terms of locals that I think are a good thing for us is that it does include every year the state and the locals split the STP sub-allocation, and every year starting this year, the MPO/local is going to get one additional extra percentage of that 50-50 split. So the first year it's going to be 51-49, the next year it'll be 52-48, all the way up to 55% at the end of the bill. So actually, while it's a small amount, 1% per year, we're actually going to see an increase, albeit small, in STP funding. So that's kind of a positive thing coming out of the bill. Also, and this is probably maybe more appropriate for the larger cities, if you'd ever heard of the TIFIA program, which was a tax increment financing through the federal government, it was basically a large loan system. And under MAP 21, it would only loan money up to, for projects that had a value of over $50 million. So it was very large-scale projects. They're actually going to reduce that to $10 million, where you could get a federal loan. So especially for, say, large reconstruction projects in our communities that may look at, you know, adding things, multimodal functions, all that, I think it actually would be a potential for communities to actually look at financing that. And that would be very low interest financing, similar probably to the way that the SIB works with the state, but that's a positive. On the negative side, as probably many of you know too, is that we didn't really find a way to pay for it. It is fully funded. The way that it is going to be funded is basically, by capping the Federal Reserve surplus account at $10 billion, gives the bill an extra $53 billion. They also, and the other pay-fors include reducing the dividend they pay to the Federal Reserve, selling 66 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and also transferring the leaky underground storage trust fund over to the highway bill to provide this funding. So there's about 7 or 8 different funding sources they've cobbled together, and it's really, I guess it's leaky, just for lack of a better word. So it'll be interesting. There's also a lot of criticism that the projected amounts that Congress was projecting to fund this are not going to come to fruition. Obviously, even if you've seen the price of oil, selling oil today is different than selling oil tomorrow versus the next day. So, but overall, this is the first new 5-year bill we've had since Safety Lou, and that's exciting. And we will look to see some policy changes, I think, as they start to codify the bill, see what changes that way. More on a local perspective, as some of you may know, or we talked about the last meeting, we will be starting up another round of Connecting Communities Planning Grants. We're going to be meeting with the task force, hopefully in January, to start that process, and then looking to get applications out in the spring. So we're hopeful that that will move forward. We're thinking it will be roughly around $100,000, so a little bit higher than maybe we had anticipated. And part of the reason for that is, as many of you probably saw via email or press, is that Jason Segedy, our director, is resigning, start effective December 31st. He is taking a position with the cabinet of the city of Akron as the new planning director. I will be the interim planning or interim study director starting January 4th. So I do look forward to that, but it also does actually kind of change some of our budgetary structure, some money is available, things like that, that we are able to look at a few things in the short term to maybe capture some of that. So, but that will be a substantial change, and we wish him the best of luck in that. He is not here this week because, of course, he was on a cruise when all this broke, which was something that he had scheduled, I think, 6 months ago or so, so he couldn't exactly get out of it with his wife. So he does, I think, wish to, you know, he will be at the policy committee next week to speak to the members, and I'm sure he'll send all his thanks out to all of you as well. So, but with that, I don't have anything else. I'd be happy to answer any
questions.
Can I
interject one thing related to the federal bill? I was in Columbus yesterday, and our financial experts down there believe it's going to be about $600 to $700 million more for the state of Ohio.
Great.
So about $125 per year.
Wow.
What that eventually gets rolled into, I'm sure probably mostly towards track, but you never know.
Yeah.
But it's good to have something that's at least out there.
Right, right.
Steve, is there any scheduled meeting discussions with ODOT to explain how this is going to trickle down to individual communities?
We did not discuss that.
We haven't got a real good overview of what's happening in each community. Do you have any idea what's going to happen?
I do not. I can ask them.
Yeah. I guess in some ways, too, the irony is that we're talking about years that we've already programmed. You know, the bill goes to 2021 or so, or, yeah, 2021, and we're almost already programmed through 2021. So it'll be interesting to see how that deals with our surpluses, things like that, moving into the future will be a little different.
Curtis, you said it was fully funded. I know it was funded for 3 years, like going cobbled together and not
My understanding is that the 3 years was the Senate bill, and the Senate bill was 6 years with 3 years funded, and then in the conference when they were able to bring it together, they reduced it to 5 years and were able to make it whole. But we can read more about that or make sure that's accurate. For sure, the first 3 years are funded. We know that, but
it's 1,400 and some pages.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody's read it yet.
Anything else? All right, AMAT's federal funds report. Victor?
Thank you. I'll be referring to our big table, the last sheet. This is actual. So for fiscal year 2016, which is back to the original, if you recall, as we were developing the CIP, we had to build a number of these projects out because we didn't have enough funds. When that happened, we contacted several appeals in Ohio to try to trade funds, and they all said, come back later. Or some of them said no. So I went back there later, and was able to work with four different MPOs, and we were able to put together probably about $7.5 million worth of trades. So what that did in the end is simply move back all of those projects back in. If you're looking at the table, you see in 16 there's two projects, about three, but two of them that are still out. One is Maslin Road in green, the right-of-way phase. They didn't want that project to be moved back into 16. But the last one there at Cleveland Maslin Road, which was bumped out to 17. We're still finalizing the trade with the Columbus area MPO. We hope to have that finalized in the next week or two. Once we do that, we'll be able to move the Cleveland Maslin Road back to the 16. So that everything can be moved out that wanted to come back in is digging to come back in. So that's a great thing. But as I think I've mentioned several times in the past, this is unprecedented how hard it was to get these funds. Usually it's a lot easier than this. So what's happening is the MPOs are being better, spending down their balances, there's less money out there, there's more competition for the little money to do this. So we're able to do a good job.
We're
going
to have to do that, right? What's that? And there's been a lot of pressure on them all to do that.
Correct. So now, because as you recall, too, we spent down the balances the way we should have. Some of the other FPOs did it. They got their money taken away. We got some of that money. So they don't want that to happen again. So they're all spending down their balances. So basically it means we need to spend the money that we have more efficiently, which we are. So then what we're running up to against now is, like this year, it just came out that we could only trade as much as we could pay back the next fiscal year. So if you look at the end of 17 there on the back page, we have a balance of about $70,000. So we can only borrow as much as we can pay back the next year. So we're up against that wall right now. We can't trade any more money for 16. So then the table is before that, the next item is statewide CMAQ funding program. This is the same table that was approved back in September. We recall since that time, this table then went down to Columbus, moved down there, reviewed with all the other projects in the state. And if you remember, based on the roughly the number we would always get in CMAQ every year, that would have let us fund the first two projects and maybe one of the four buses, or partially one of the four buses that part of it requested. But when we went down there, it just worked out and we were able to get at least two of those, fully fund two of the part of the buses. So again, it's the same list. This, actually the executive directors of all the MPOs met this morning, and they were supposed to do the final approval of this list. So once that's done, I think we'll be coming back in January to this committee and the policy for final approval of those top three projects. And last thing, we are in the middle of evaluating and scoring STP cap and resurfacing projects that were submitted for funding. We have the tax yet subcommittee meetings that are coming Tuesday. We'll start reviewing those projects and scoring to hopefully get those all ranked. We can't handle that one meeting. We'll meet again right after the holidays and get that wrapped up so that we can get back to this in January for which recommendation of projects will be funded under those three funding programs. We had a total of 108 projects that were submitted, requesting approximately $133 million. And this is just a little bit, I think in past years we had a little bit more projects that we requested. So this year was a little bit light compared to previous funding. So that's all I have on this item. If anybody has any questions, we have to answer them.
Yes, the 10.
Victor, the 30 plus million that's projected to be spent this year, that must rank pretty high among the fiscal years for AMAC?
Yes. Yes. It may be the highest on it. Let's check out the previous years. This may be the highest year. But you have to, what we have to do is take out some of those trains and some of that stuff that's happening up top. So it may not be that exact.
Anything else? All right. Thanks very much, Vic. Old business, 2015 pedestrian plan. Carrie.
I'll be presenting attachment 4A. The 2015 pedestrian plan is an update of the original plan that AMAS created 3 years ago. Our new plan seeks to build on the original plan, and in developing this item, we had two purposes. First, we wanted to provide a significant planning resource for communities as they consider pedestrian improvements in their respective areas. Secondly, we wanted to craft a broad vision statement identifying what sort of pedestrian networks that we as an agency feel that the region should be pursuing. As we began working on this plan, we identified three areas of improvement for our region's pedestrian systems, and those areas of improvement were safety, connectivity, and vibrancy, and I'll address each of those briefly. Safety is a major consideration for pedestrians as they make the choice to walk along or across the roadway. Underscoring the need for safe pedestrian systems is our 2012-2014 CRAD report. In that report, we determined that of the 464 pedestrian crashes that occurred during the period, 409, or 88% of those resulted in an injury. 10 of those crashes resulted in a fatality. Now, that may not sound like much, but you have to keep in mind that those 10 crashes represent more than 8% of all fatal crashes in the greater Akron area. So clearly there's room for improvement in terms of the safety of our pedestrian systems. Our plan is urging communities to pursue three safety planning practices. And they are road diets, sidewalks, and crosswalks. And details about each of these are included in the plan. I'm not going to address that for the time being. Connectivity, the second area of improvement, refers to the extent that pedestrian networks actually link people to their destinations. The type of networks I'm talking about are streets, sidewalks, and trails. Direct connections encourage travel by foot rather than by car. The 2015 pedestrian plan addresses some of the suburban connectivity issues in our region, and we're urging communities and to a certain extent developers to pursue pedestrian-friendly land use designs. The third area, quite possibly my favorite, is vibrancy. Vibrancy concerns making the experience of walking an actual enjoyable one. We here at AMATS believe that our pedestrian networks shouldn't merely accommodate pedestrians, it should actually invite them into walking. We're hoping that communities that will consider pedestrian-friendly strategies, as I mentioned earlier, but pedestrian-friendly land use designs, but also new parking lot designs, things like landscaping, streetscaping, wayfinding signage, public art, street furniture. Excellent examples already in our area of these kinds of strategies in practice are Cuyahoga Falls and Portage Crossing area and Kent's Acorn Alley areas. Communities don't have to follow those to a T or communicate to the developers, but they're just guidelines of what you can pursue or consider. The plan does include analyses of the existing conditions of our pedestrian networks, as well as including forecasts of ongoing trends in terms of especially population and employment. Other data included in the plan include the 2015 sidewalk inventory and further references to the crash report that I mentioned earlier. The plan doesn't just put forth a bunch of feel-good strategies. We did identify four implementation tools available to communities that are considering pedestrian improvements. And those implementation tools are Complete Street Principles, the AMATS Connected Communities Initiative, the AMATS Transportation Alternatives Program, which will actually provide funding for various pedestrian improvements that qualify, and the Safe Routes to School Program. The 2015 pedestrian plan has been available for review and comment on the AMATS website since November the 6th, and we promoted its availability through social media such as Twitter and Facebook, but we also sent out announcements to area media and, of course, our committee members. This item was presented at the AMATS Citizens Involvement Committee meeting last week, and we have modified it slightly based on the comments that some of the members received. A number of the members expressed concerns that perhaps the item wasn't fully meeting the needs of our area's elderly and minority populations, and we took their suggestions to heart and implemented them into the final draft, which will be available soon. This item will be presented next week to the Policy Committee for approval, and if approved, it will be used by us as an input to the upcoming Regional Transportation Plan. And if you ladies and gentlemen have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them as best I can.
Carrie, I did look through this before, but it's been a while. Does it address management of these pedestrian ways, like snow removal and sidewalks?
That was actually one of the concerns raised at the CIC, at the time being, no, that doesn't.
Okay. It might be something to include. Can you touch on the things that were modified from that committee?
Well, one of the suggestions that was presented to us is to refer to the Dangerous by Design report prepared by Smart Growth America. And we took that report's merely identifying some of the problems that those populations have, and stressing the importance that they be addressed or considered by planners and designers. That's mentioned in there prominently in the early stages of the report.
Okay. Joe?
Page 21, we have a nice graphic of a public roundabout, Springside Drive and Rock Rock Road. I've been told that the TAP fund does not build roundabouts, and since these are neither are on a federally eligible roadway, how do I come up with a couple million dollars to build? Anybody got any ideas?
Reach into your pockets, Joe.
There's nothing there. I need a great big red kettle someplace. I can tell you that. We're going to push something like this. There is no funding discussions in this, I can see, and any discussions about how the money gets there. Mm-hmm. So while this is a great plan, I'm sure Helen Humphrey's going to deliver it to me.
Well, this and if you're this image that you're referring to was actually one taken out of the Connecting Communities report that Copley and Bath worked with us on. So this is, I mean, I would say that this is the desire of those people, you know, of the residents in Copley.
How do I get to this desire? But,
and it might definitely be, it might end up being a local, you know, if they want it bad enough, they'll have to pay for it. And that could be the, I mean, that's the reality that I think a lot of us are going to be looking at.
We get into a situation where we're taking some of the most expensive property, Summit County, is in Montrose, retail, commercial established land, and we're going to eliminate parking spaces and build this large item, and one-fourth of it is on private property. And we don't have any method of funding. So while it may be a great idea, it may look good, it may function even someday, it's not going to be fun. That's the problem.
Joe, if I may comment on that, I think what they're looking at, if you have a high crasher, an intersection that needs improvement, to consider how you're going to move your pedestrians through there. I think that's more or less some of the example there. It's not go redo your intersection just because you want to change your crosswalk configuration.
It's not high pressure.
So, but I, as an example in here, though, I think that's what they're looking at. They're not telling you to take every intersection and
well,
turn it into
just
this.
A scorepoint we have right now, the towns want something because AMS Connected Communities has recommended it, that there's no way to fund the construction.
Any other comments, questions? Does everybody feel comfortable to move ahead with this? Anybody would like to make a motion to adopt it?
Gateway move to approve.
Any second?
John
True, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
I oppose.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always forget that, but you remind me. Thank you. Any other oppositions? Okay. Joe Paradise opposing. All right. Resolutions. Resolution attachment 6A, Dave Pillay.
Thank you. Attachment 6A is amendment number 2 to the TIP. It's adding 2 new projects and revising the funding to 3 projects. First, we'll look at the new projects. There's a new safety project in Edinburgh Township. It's the intersection of State Route 14 and Talmadge Road. Construction is scheduled in 2018. We're adding $110,000 in state funds and almost $1.2 million in HSIP or safety funds for that project. And the other new project is State Route 91 and Prospect Street in Hudson. This is not really a new project. This was the other TIP or previous TIP, and after some bidding issues, we had to move it and add it to this one. The 3 projects with revised funding are Frost Grove in Streetsboro. We're adding almost $850,000 of additional CMAC funding to that. State Route 91 and Canton Road in Springfield Township in the village of Lakemore is getting an additional $500,000 in safety funding. And then the I-76 project, this is a huge interchange reconstruction in Akron and Barberton. This has a whole lot of new funding from about five different sources. So those are the three being revised. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. Otherwise, staff does recommend approval.
Any questions? Motion to approve?
So moved. Moore.
Second?
Second.
Joe? Any other questions, comments? All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Jeff Gardner? Resolution of approving amendment number three.
Attachment 6D in here. This item presents resolution 2015-16, a TIP amendment for Metro RTA at their request. Metro is requesting that FY 2016 TIP be amended to reflect revised project cost estimates and the reprioritization of their vehicle replacement schedule. With regard to maintenance funding in FY 2016, Metro is requesting that the federal share be increased from $3.5 million to $4 million, with the total project cost going to $5 million. The federal share will remain at 80%. Metro is also requesting to reduce their 2016 purchase of vehicles from 12 small buses to 6 small buses. The federal share will remain at 80%. Go from $1 million approximately to $500,000 with a total project cost of $630,000. Resolution 2015-16 is consistent with the Regional Transportation Plan, is financially constrained, air quality neutral, and meets requirements for public involvement and environmental justice. Unless there are any questions, the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2015-16.
Is White moving to approve?
Second.
Just those who second.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, at the AMATS annual meeting, Chris Papp, Jim Mulling, and myself, as members of the nominating committee for officers for next year, met and conspired to nominate Amy Moore from Twinsburg as chairwoman for next year and John True as vice chair for next year. So I will entertain a motion to approve those nominations. Jeff Solson, so moved. Second?
Second to Max.
Tony, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Welcome aboard. Thank you. And the last item, AMATS meeting calendar, Curtis.
Yeah, so in your attachment, you'll see the AMATS meeting calendar, not very different from last year's. One thing we did do was move the annual meeting to the 7th of October. This year it fell after Columbus Day. That kind of became a little bit of a difficult point for the staff to put that together with the one short week. So we did move that back to where it was. But other than that, you'll see the calendar is pretty normal, and the CIC is going to be meeting quarterly four times a year.
All right. Well, with that, so our next meeting is January 21st. Yes.
I guess before we adjourn, I just had two quick things for everybody, if that's all right.
Sure.
I didn't know whether to do it here or other place. For those people that aren't aware, Jim Kinnick retired from District 4 on Friday. Is our planning and engineering administrator. Took a job Monday as the head of the Youngstown MPO East. So we are actively trying to hire his replacement as we speak. And also I want to take this opportunity to thank AMATS and the City of Akron. The department put a track application in for the Central Interchange this go-round. We actually have construction money secured to fix those two left-handed bridges and do some other work at the Central Interchange. And we went to track and safety for $4 million each to get the design of it handled. And there was a meeting this morning, and it sounds like that money's going to get approved. So Jason actually came down to Columbus and gave a presentation in front of the track. So pass along the thanks for that one. So
to replace the central interchange of the roundabout?
No, Joe didn't like that.
I wanted to
turn
into a roundabout.
Joe wanted us to take his office, but we're going to be.
Yeah. Before we adjourn, too, I'd just like to thank Chris for being our chairwoman this year. I think she did an excellent job, and we really appreciate your work this year with
us. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. It's been good getting to know some of you guys a little better, and appreciate all the work that EMAT staff has done, and welcome Mr. Interim Director.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do we need a motion on the calendar or anything like that?
I don't think so. We'll let the policy do the motion.
Okay.
So.
Any other business? All right.
I'd like to make a motion to make the interim permanent.
Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays. Motion to adjourn?
Yeah. Thank you.